If you'd like to turn to Psalm 133, we're just going to, we might as well read the whole lot, hey? It's only three verses. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us this week. We thank you, Lord, for the rain. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that this time now would be a blessing, Lord. I pray that you'd help me to have clarity of mind and clarity of speech, Lord. Pray, Lord, that the message would be edifying, Lord. And I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So you would have noticed this verse has been on our wall for 12 months, thereabouts, I think. Maybe, yeah, more than 12 months, maybe. And the other verse I would, if you can turn to, is Ephesians chapter 4, and that's on this side. Ephesians chapter 4. So you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. I'm going to because I haven't got eyes in the back of my head. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 to 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, we will be talking about unity tonight, but before we get there, I want to talk to you about being created in the image of God and being image bearers. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and verse 27, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. In Matthew, some people come to Jesus with a question. And they tempt him. In verse chapter 22 in Matthew, they ask, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? And Jesus, perceiving their wickedness, said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny, and he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And they that heard these words, when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Jesus was iterating a truth from Genesis chapter 1. He said, render to God the things that belong to God. He used the word image there when he said, whose image is on the coin, for a purpose. Because he's trying to make a point to the people that you are the image of God and you need to render yourself unto God. We are, our children are image bearers of us. Our children reflect who we are as parents, our children are ambassadors, I guess, for our family in many ways. They bear our family name. And our children either lift up our family name or they bring down a family name. They tarnish it. If you went into a particular town and you said, okay, do you know this family? Some people might say, yeah, well, they're a good family, they're a nice family. And others, or there might be a brother or uncle or a sister in that family that they might think you're talking about and say, you don't want to know that person. So as children of God, we are ambassadors for Christ. As image bearers, as Christians, we bear the name of Christ. That's what a Christian, Christian. We're ambassadors for Christ. We bear his name, and our actions and the way we live and the way we conduct ourselves, the words we say, either lift God up, they exalt God's name, or they tarnish his name. And in that way, our words and our actions give opportunity for others to blaspheme God's name, the name of God. When King David sinned with Bathsheba and Uriah, his sin gave opportunity to others to blaspheme the name of God. Now, we are called to reflect Christ, and you might be asking, what does this have to do with unity? Well, God is the perfect example of unity. In the Trinity, he's the perfect example. And as we look at Christ, he is the perfect example of what we need to have unity. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you're still there, Paul beseeches us. He exhorts, he prays that we might walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, ye are called. Now, this word vocation simply means a calling. So Paul is saying, walk worthy of the calling that you're called, that you are called in. And one of those callings, or that one calling that all Christians have, is we are all called to be conformed to the image of Christ for his namesake. Romans chapter 8, we're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're created in the image of God. We are his image bearers. And in here, in chapter 4, Paul lists some key attributes or aspects that we will need to help us to walk worthy, to be able to reflect Christ. And he says, with all lowliness of mind, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, and endeavouring to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. So we have lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, love, peace. Now what do some of them remind us of? Fruit of the Spirit. And so the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And so it sounds like Paul is telling us that if we want to reflect Christ, we need the fruit of the Spirit. And if we want to reflect Christ, we need unity. Or if we want unity, we need to reflect Christ. They go hand in hand. You can't have unity without the fruit of the Spirit or a Christ-like spirit. It can't be unity in a church without the fruit, without evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. When there is a Christ-like spirit among the brethren, there will be unity. And I don't really need to tell parents this especially, but I don't need to tell you that when there's people around you showing the fruit of the Spirit, they're pleasant to be around. And when the people are not showing the fruit of the Spirit, they're not pleasing to be around. You ask my wife, when I'm not walking in the Spirit, if I'm a pleasure to be around. I'm not. Now, I want to point out a couple of words here that might help us to understand a bit more of our part of this. And we won't stay on this long. The word endeavouring. Paul says, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavouring means to use speed, which means to make an effort, be prompt, to be earnest, give diligence, to be diligent. And the word keep there is a military word to guard. And it means to be keeping an eye on, so that you're guarding it from loss or you're guarding it from injury. And so we are to set a watch to guard our unity with speed and with effort, with diligence. Now, the opposite of unity is strife, conflict, fighting, bickering, backbiting, slandering, talebearing. And how often do we see conflict between people and you think to yourself, these people are just being childish? And all that needs to happen is somebody needs to give way to the other person, ideally both people give way to each other, one person to esteem the other better than themselves. And the root of all this is pride. Just going back, those are the things we need to be guarding ourselves against. The strife, we need to be setting a watch for conflict and fighting coming from within. Only by pride cometh contention. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Go with me to chapter 13 in Genesis. Chapter 13, and we'll read from the beginning of the chapter. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, under the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled there in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from another. Now, I want you to think, what is the first aspect of the fruit of spirit that comes to mind in this passage, in Abraham's actions? Don't be shy. What's the first? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering? Peace? That's the first one that comes to mind? Okay. What about someone else? Is that the first, Les? Okay. Possibly long suffering, yeah. Will? Meekness? Yep. Okay. Any others? Okay. I see love. Why do I see love? Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for brethren. And I see Abram laying down his life. He's self-sacrifice here, in the sense that he's not keeping the best for himself. He's allowing Lot to have his choice of the best. He's not keeping the best land for his herds and his flocks, which were probably greater than Lot's. I see lowliness or humility, in esteeming Lot better than himself. I see goodness in that he's given Lot the opportunity for the best. I think there's gentleness in here, in how Abram dealt with the situation. I'm sure you would find temperance, peace, and joy. I think if we were there and you could see the expressions on their faces, you would probably see joy on Abram's face in giving Lot the best. I think you can see faith in Abram that God would continue to provide for his cattle and continue to bless him. But I think we can see that, I think if we looked and we searched it, that we would be able to find all the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit there. Now, Abram could only have or exercise this fruit of the Spirit by the grace of God. And it's grace that we need for unity. We need grace. Without grace, where would we be? We'd be lost on our way to hell. We can't do anything God-glorifying, anything that will last for eternity. We cannot walk worthy without God's grace. Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Proverbs 3:34, Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. James 4, but he giveth more grace. God giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And I think if we seek to be more like Christ, humility is the one that stands out for me. I think when we look at Philippians chapter 2, we see that humility of Christ. And when we humble ourselves by the grace of God, he gives us grace to reflect him more in his other attributes, including being more humble and getting lower and lower and lower. God giveth grace to the humble, those that cry for help, those that need or see their need, those that desire to reflect Christ, and those that desire to walk worthy so that his name will be lifted up. And Hebrews tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in that time of need. We can come boldly because we have a great high priest and an intercessor that is there for us. But we must come with humble hearts to receive grace. We need grace to reflect Christ, and we need to reflect Christ to have unity. Paul mentions this as an attribute or an aspect in the need to walk worthy. He says, with all lowliness. And I thought, why did he mention loneliness first? And for my brain was thinking, and you could probably hear it's ticking over still, but I think it's because it's the exact opposite of the devil. The devil wanted to lift himself up. He was full of pride. Pride is the devil. What the devil's, I guess, key attribute would be pride. And so he lifts himself up, whereas Christ lowers himself, becoming a servant. He esteemed, Philippians 2, 1 to 8, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When I think of peace, when I think of unity, I think of two things. I think of being of one accord, one mind, striving together, everyone working for the same thing, and I think of peace. You know when your kids some of you don't have kids, but you have siblings, and so you can relate, I think. You know when kids or siblings just play nice together? Right? Have you seen that? No one's seen it? Well, this is what peace and unity look like. When your kids play nice together, and one is being nice to the other, and there's no strife. They're not fighting over which way to do something or what game to play, and they're not worried about winning. They don't care if they lose. They're just enjoying each other's company. That's what unity looks like, to some degree. And I've got another illustration here. Hopefully, it's an illustration that... All right, now, strife comes in all types of... Let's see. Let's start here. Okay. This is what unity looks like, okay? Everything's working together. All right? Remember that. All right? Won't make a mess up here if possible. Now, strife comes in all sizes. Strife can be a little thing, or it can be much larger. And what does strife look like? Find the rope that I want. All right. Strife is just like... I probably should need a second hand up here, actually. And don't do this with wet rope, probably. This is what strife looks like, okay? Comes in and it tears apart. And I should have done this with dry rope. What happens when you leave stuff in the rain. But look, strife comes in other forms. All right? And it just breaks in and it cuts and it... That's what... I won't stab my finger, don't worry. But it just comes in and it breaks things apart and things unravel and it tears things apart. That's what strife looks like. Now, Abram was very good at seeing the strife start when it was just close and it was just poking in a little bit between the herdmen. And he was watching, he was guarding. He had set a watch that there'd be unity between him and Lot still. And he had discernment to know what to do. He had the wisdom from God. And he reflected Christ in his actions. Now, when there is, let me see if I can find a better rope. Let's see. When strife happens and man tries to fix it, might end up like this. But that's not how God intended. See, it's still easily pulled apart when strife happens in a church and things still unravel, or when there's strife in a family and we try to fix it man's way. It's not how God intended it. It's not like that. It's like that. Now, all right. I'm going to get out of the way, I think. So, we need grace. We need grace to dwell together. We need grace to dwell together in unity. And we need grace to reflect Christ. We need grace to have the fruit of the Spirit to enjoy unity. I think there's been a sweet spirit about the church in the last little while. And I think we need to set a guard. We need to endeavor to keep that unity and that bond of peace, that bond that we have in Christ. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. All right. Thank you. Let's pray. And then I'll... Pastor, you're going to come? All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, again for your goodness, Lord. I hope, Lord, that that was edifying, Lord, and that it was clear, Lord. I just thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.